This is the SEN Breakfast Monday Microscope with Gary Lyon, Tim Watson and Kane Corns.
Hi, one of the true workers, Kane Corns, still going like we are. I hope you're on time and a half today, Kano. How are you, mate?
What are you two doing on a public
holiday?
Because
we love our audience. Yeah. We want to keep giving.
that's the biggest question out of the round of 49. No, but it was... Tim, I was unhappy with the break in the fixture and the what was in front of us until it happened. So what a surprise it was. On paper, it looked like perhaps the worst fixture we've seen in a long time. Then we get that classic between North Melbourne and Giants. Who would have thought Adelaide and St Kilda was a thriller? And then last night was just one of the great home and away games that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm a massive advocate for 666 as a result of what I saw on the weekend again. I think whoever thought of that was a genius, because you wouldn't have got those results. If you imagine that game last night, you imagine the North Melbourne, they would have just parked 15 bikes behind the footy North Melbourne after they
Absolutely.
Kicked the first two, and you wouldn't have got that. So well done to 666. Let's start with David Mackay. We haven't spoken a second about it this morning. We waited till you got to us. It's gone straight to the tribunal, so that in itself tells us a few things, but I haven't heard you talk about it, so what are your thoughts?
Well, Saturday night, start late and do the show on the AFL, and first crack at it just because that was the way that it sits, and I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's none, I wouldn't be surprised if it's three, and that's the biggest issue that we face with tribunal matters at the moment, and I'm not surprise, but my question is, what's he charged with? So he goes to the tribunal tonight. They say to him, how do you plead? And he says, well, I don't plead anything because I haven't been charged with anything. It's confusing. And I had a bit of an argument on social media with David King. Not an argument. King is really passionate about this and I respect his view on it. But how far do we go in eradicating some things that we love about this game? And Gaz, you said it was alarmist nonsense when I said, well, you're going to start taking the high knee to the jaw out and accidental contact there. This is my fear. This is where we're going. I saw it as two players attacking the footy and everything we love about the game. The result is unfortunate and absolutely our thoughts with the result. But I'm just concerned we're losing the things that we love about the game.
I want to have a listen to what David, I haven't heard it, so let's have a listen to what David King had to say.
I'm looking at the health and well-being of the players long term. We've got so many players on the sidelines now with their lives being altered significantly at 21, 22 years of age. For me, you can highlight the point of contact if you like. You can look at all the stills you like. It's not about still photos. This is about decision making in the path here for Mackay. At that speed, significant contact is highly likely in that evidence when he's coming in flat speed like that. I just think we need to coach that out of players. We need to suspend that out of the game. And I'm comfortable with this being 3 or 4.
So you know he doesn't want him going at speed.
This is the confusion for. So we ask the players to play the toughest game in the world, and now we're saying when they don't attack the footy, you'll get up there, Gaz, on Monday and have a look at some players that could have attacked it hard, as we all would do. And now we're asking the players to slow down in a split second when the footy is there to be won. I just think we're making it impossible for our players, making it really difficult.
Was this a cop-out, do you think? Either of you, do you think this is a cop-out by the match review panel yesterday? Because on that match review panel is Steve Hocking, right, who is the representative of the AFL.
Is he on the panel?
Well, he has to tick anything that happens at the match review. He actually has to tick it off or on, right? So he is the person who represents the game. So what they said yesterday is that they don't know where this actually sits. They are unsure. So now they're actually sending it to the tribunal, which consists of intelligent men, three former players of the game, but they're asking them to adjudicate whether or not this bump that we saw at the weekend or this collision we saw at the weekend is inside the rules of the game.
Yeah, that's...
So if somebody breaks their jaw, okay, if somebody in the act, if it's deemed to have been outside the rules of the game and what's acceptable at a game, and somebody ends up with a broken jaw, like we saw on Saturday night, then that's not a 2 or 3 week penalty. That's got to be a 6 or 8 week penalty.
I'm watching it over and over and over as we are talking here, gentlemen. And for me, game on.
Play on.
Play on.
You're saying play on.
Play on.
Kane's saying play on, yeah?
I'm saying play on. But I also, and I'm acknowledging the head high. I just, when the ball's in dispute like that, I think, Kane, in answer to your earlier question, there will be times when players need to slow up. And we as a broader footy community and media need to acknowledge and see that and say, well, that's not a player who's taken a short step or not going hard enough. That's a player who's cognizant of the rules and where it is for ahead. I think in this instance, the ball's still there to be won.
Yeah.
And you can't say don't go fast when the ball's in dispute.
Yeah, we take David McKay. Like he's one of the fairest players.
Yeah,
we've
I don't
ever
think
seen.
There's any thought that he was trying to knock him out.
There's no intent there, and he's got his hands on the ball. So I was upset about the Ploughman one 2 weeks ago because I thought it was a fair contest without intent, and he got 2 weeks for what I saw as a great footy collision. I understand the result of it, but then on the weekend I see O'Meara bump Hayward. Hayward goes down with concussion. Nothing to see. This is where I'm confused. Is it zero? Is it none? Do you get off like O'Meara got off? I don't know. I thought what Taylor Walker did on Wilkie was it with in that marking contest had far more intent.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
Cause for and hurt than what David McKay did.
So I didn't like Ben King either, who was in the same sort of area. Both those boys. So you talk about being not caring about getting a week. It wouldn't worry me if they got a week for that.
There are, I understand what King is saying, okay, in terms of, you know, players that have been forced out of the game because of head trauma and then those that are suffering later in life because of it. But there are, in this game, there are inherent dangers associated with playing our game of collision sport, okay? And we can do all we can to make sure that we protect players as much as we possibly can by the framing of the rules of the game. But there will always be instances like that one on Saturday night where two players are fiercely contesting the ball, and as a result of that, somebody comes away injured.
Can't legislate out of the game forever, I don't think. But we'll move on because otherwise we'll be here until 7:30 still going about the same thing. Biggest result of the weekend, West Coast. What category have you got West Coast in? 22 points down halfway through the last quarter. The Richmond lovers are going nuts. Kingy says it's brilliant, powerful, it's important, it's impossible to stop. Well, it was because they're 22 points down halfway through the last quarter.
Oh, when your star players stand up and the last quarters of Nat Nui, Hearn, Yo and Kennedy, by extension for the full game, he's just an out-and-out superstar. I'm happy to call him a superstar, Josh Kennedy. I love everything about him. When they stand up like they did, they're a force and you get potentially Shuey back and others, but we'll speak a bit. Can you trust them away from home? And if they don't finish top two, can they win this premiership? I don't think they can. They have to finish top two, which is almost going to be impossible from the position that they're in. But Nat Nui to Yo in the last quarter, three in a row from the centre bounce, which led to the 6-6-6, which you're talking about, Gaz, was just magnificent.
Your trust in West Coast goes up when Elliot Yo plays. That's the bottom line. Elliot Yo is a barometer for this side because he brings a hardness and I'm not saying they're not hard as a group, but he brings an extra hardness. He brings an accountability as a midfielder. He can also go with a player. And he had this osteitis. He took 2 weeks to get motoring and then he motored last night. He changes them.
And they have to find a way to be able to play Nat Nui for longer. So they even stretched it last night. He's been around 64% game time. They are a different team when Nat Nui is on the ground. So he stretched it to 72% last night. Why have we got a player as seasoned as Nat Nui only capable of playing 72% game time? They've got to be more capable of putting him forward, letting him do the forward ruck work, leaving him on the ground. They're a different team, and that was the case again last night. He played 72%. He's got to get that to 86, 87%.
You're saying, though, that they need to play him differently and send him forward as opposed to he just doesn't have the endurance to be able to go for much longer in the ruck. So I guess they think that he's more benefit to them not as that forward but in the ruck. So that's why they spell him and then put him back on the ball, though, Kane. Isn't it right? Isn't that the way they – I mean, they've worked this out over time, have they not?
Well, possibly, but I think if they're going to win it, he needs to play 86, 80% game time. Now, whether that's go behind the ball for a spell, get your break in different ways, because sometimes you get stuck on the interchange bench, the ball's on the other side, you can't get back on. Whereas if he's on the ground, it's a straight swap. Yeah, I'm into the ruck now. I just think I'm watching them and I see Oscar Allen in there. What's Oscar Allen doing in the ruck? Like, what are you doing with your marquee, genuine next superstar of the team playing ruck?
Haven't they got replacements all over the ground though currently though, haven't they? Edwards down back is going to fill one of those key positions. The other Edwards played at the weekend. He was really good. Foley was good. So they've actually got some real talent beneath where we well, below their first sort of rung of players at the moment that they're developing. And the fact that they've had some injuries has meant that they've been able to expose them to the pressure of the game too. Talking about the pressure, Stuart Dew, what sort of pressure is he under and what sort of pressure should he be under right now after that loss again at the weekend?
A lot. So you know, I spoke about this on Friday. Tom Morris did a thing, which coaches are out of contract at the end of 2022. He's one of them. He with David Teague would be the most nervous. I just don't like the way that these young players are being coached, and they're being allowed to get away with defensive actions that just don't stand up. And because they're off Broadway a little bit, we don't tend to focus on them as much. But when you're the only game on a Saturday and it starts at 4:30 and we're all watching, we quickly notice the defensive actions of Jack Lukosius and Isaac Rankin and others. And I just don't want to nail those two because they're the pick two and three in a draft from a few years ago. They've now played 50 games. They're not being coached hard enough, Gaz.
Are they moving ahead, Gary, quickly enough?
No, I've seen them live a few times. There are moments where I think they are taking a step forward, but then you watch on the weekend, nine players don't lay a tackle in the first half. Nine. And four laid one. So you've got 13 players have laid one or less tackles in a half a footy.
What's that about then?
Well, that's mindset.
And effort, isn't it?
Well, I don't reckon the coach says don't go out and don't tackle.
No, I know. A coach doesn't say that. Mm. A coach doesn't say that. But you, as a coach, you have to take the responsibility of getting your team into the right frame of mind to compete.
I think Stuart,
that's what coaches have to do.
They do. And Stuart Dew takes that, and he takes that responsibility. I don't think he hides from it. I've had a couple of good discussions with Stuart, you know, when we go down the rooms beforehand and talk to them. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's just, I don't know, it's an environment thing maybe. Getting, as Kane says, get away, off Broadway.
But this is what we do. We put everyone else under pressure and then we just disregard what the Suns are doing.
Why
is that?
We do because
we just don't care enough, do we?
Well, no, that's right. No one's invested enough in the Gold Coast Suns emotionally. And who's invested unless you're a...
Is that part of the problem then?
Unless you're Tony Cochran.
Yeah, Tony is. and the AFL are. But the rest of us don't care that, don't get passionate about it enough. I mean, you watch the Heat come for St Kilda by comparison.
100%.
And rightfully so.
And the pressure's been on Carlton, the pressure's been on Collingwood.
So St Kilda lead going into the last quarter, and then the last quarter the Crows have 12 more clearances, 15 more inside 50s, 21. If you lose contested possession by 10 or plus in a game...
They're out in their feet, St Kilda.
You've got an issue.
They're out in their feet, which begs the question also about their... I know they've got some injuries. Okay, yeah. They've got a lot of injuries right now. But I wonder about their conditioning too as a group of players.
Well, all of that. And that's why the review situation comes up about you've got to look at that. So injuries come into your high performance. They were out on their feet.
Dougal
Howard, he could not go. He couldn't go against an eight gamer in Riley Filthorpe. This is Dougal Howard. So what is going on there? They stopped. I looked at some numbers from St Kilda and where they stack up. They're 16th in so many key areas, including scores against off turnover, including stoppage goals. They're 16th in the competition for that. They're 15th for contested footy, and with the group that they've got inside, it's alarming for the Saints. You shouldn't lose from 36-0 against the youngest team in the competition.
I'll give you my thoughts on St Kilda on the other side of the break. Kane Corns here doing a magnificent job. The Monday Microscope. I want to talk about Alistair Clarkson's Hawks on Friday night against the Sydney Swans. How good was that win as well? This is the Monday Microscope. We'll be back after this.
This is the SEN Breakfast Monday Microscope with Gary Lyon, Tim Watson and Kane Corns.
Great to have the Volcano with us as well. I tell you what, it was a great win by Adelaide. I love that. I just wonder whether there are too many excuses made for St Kilda. There's my issue with them. I just wonder whether there is just, Brad Hill, don't give him the footy enough, not going to drop him. Jack Higgins, 1.6, bad headline, don't call it out. Max King got some criticism. Oh, I can't jump, get off his back. I just wonder whether that permeates throughout the group. That's all. That's from afar.
I think it's fair too. I couldn't believe that was an issue for the club, that they've made phone calls to the media over a headline. Now he's gone out and kicked another zero goals too. So it's 1.8 in the last 2 weeks. I think the criticism of King is out of a place of not care, but out of a
concern. No, I love Max King.
So it's out of a place of trying to almost help, and what would you do? And that's what you're paid to do, is to give your insights into that. He's going to be a good player. There's no issues there. And you know, the Brad Hill situation has dragged on. There has been excuses for him all year. What do they do? Well, they can't really smash the selection axe because there's no one to come in.
And that may be a part of it. You know, they realise that they're very skinny with numbers, but well, they've got some issues down there. Righto, Frio, they get the job done. Just get the job done. We spoke about Gold Coast and big Sean Darcy. Does he continue to make big waves? Big Hodor.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about him, I think. Just turned 23. He's going to be, next 10 years, he's going to be a force, I reckon. He's very crafty out of the centre bounce. They kick 4 centre bounce goals on the weekend. He moves around the ground pretty well for a big, big man, and he's tough. And he's one of those players, you know, those guys, Tim, that you play with and you rise as you're walking down the tunnel and you look to the left and you go, oh, I got Byron Pickett with me today. I feel pretty good. Or, you know, Chad was a good one for me. I got Chad next to me today. I reckon I'm going to stand a bit taller. You know, those players, I reckon Sean Darcy is going to be one of those for his Fremantle teammates.
He's a beauty, the big fellow. Hawthorne Friday night, I thought there was so much to get excited. Well, not get excited. If you're a Hawthorne supporter, you know where you're at. I think it's pretty clear now that they're going to go back and work hard to add talent to it. But you can just see some place, some of the magnets being fallen into place that are going to be there. So CJ and Will Day off halfback are, CJ's exciting. Will Day's just going to be, mark my words, a leader of that footy club very quickly. Scrimshaw's fitting in okay. They've got Denver Brass, their high draft pick, who's going to be beauty as well. He's coming back and playing footy. I love Kaczynski down the other end. I know he's a work in progress, but he's leapfrogged past Lewis and O'Brien in a heartbeat. So a couple of little pieces have just fell into place for them, I thought, on the weekend. I thought Tom Mitchell played a role that was a bit different to what Tom Mitchell's done.
What did he do on Friday night?
He split in the first half with 70-30. So 70 midfield, 30 forward, which he's never been done. And his work in the forward half was, I think, was selfless. He did a lot of blocking. He did a bit of contesting. His tackling was great. So some big ticks all around there.
So do you think in the 2 weeks that they had off to prepare for that game, that was one of the things that Al Clarkson worked on?
Yeah.
Switching the way that he wanted Tom Mitchell to play?
Yeah, I think it was.
Reprogramming him?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say reprogramming, but Newcomb coming into that side, the debutant, allowed them to play Mitchell and others in a different role. So that was great. So
but everyone's been screaming for Tom Mitchell to change the way that he plays because he hasn't, even though he gets a lot of the ball, he hasn't been that effective type of player. Is he playing, do you think, is there an element of, you know, the Trent Cotchin switch from playing one style of football to another? Did you notice that on Friday night?
He embraced the role.
So I reckon for Tom Mitchell, the one stat that I would look at is metres gained for Tom. So on Friday night, he's had 440 metres gained, which was the fifth most on the field. If he is driving the ball forward, and of course he's going to use his hands in tight, and that's not always going to lend itself to high metres gained, but he had 18 kicks and 16 handballs. That is the mix. And the difference that Lachie Neale did, and I think they're similar type players, Tom Mitchell and Lachie Neale. Lachie Neale has publicly said, I wanted to use my legs more. I wanted to drive out of the stoppage and I wanted to kick the ball more and go forward and score. And that turned Lachie Neale into a Brownlow medalist. No doubt about it. I think Tom Mitchell is capable of doing that. So I'd be looking at his metres gained each week, and 440 is a good number for him to have a big impact.
Yep, he laid 7 tackles too. Shields 7, 14 to Newcomb. So this was the sort of the basic game plan as I saw it against the Sydney Swans. So they double-teamed the ruck. So Segler coming in with McAvoy against an informed Tom Hickey. They pushed forward on him and marked the footy inside forward 50. They won contested footy and they denied him the corridor. They're set up in denying them the corridor. Like every time Sydney got it, if you go back and watch it, they looked for a switch. No. They looked the middle. No. Mm. Down the line.
What were they doing in the first quarter, Sydney? I think the near side of the ground, they attacked there through free players, I reckon, a dozen times. There was no accountability from a Sydney player. And John Longmire sitting there on the bench on that side of the ground is going spare, but they didn't seem to be able to work it out there on the field as to who was responsible on that part of the ground.
They looked a bit out on their feet as well. They look like a team hanging for the break. And you know, they speak a lot about in American sports when the good coaches have a week to prepare for an opposition and that extra time. That's what it looked like. So get physical at training. We saw that. come with a response physically, but also have time to prepare against a team, a young side in Sydney, that are hanging for a break. So well done. It keeps things interesting, doesn't it? Because last week, I reckon we said the top eight is set. Now Sydney look a little bit vulnerable, albeit the Giants coughed up a pretty good opportunity yesterday.
Big Queen's birthday today at the SCG, and then the festivities at the MCG. Can you see? And look, Collingwood would be long odds to cause the upset, but we have seen so many times this occasion where the coach goes, the coach is sacked or whatever. I don't care what you say. It happens.
Do it for the Gipper.
All that stuff. It happens.
Do you think the emotion for the Collingwood players will be there today to do it for Nathan Buckley, Kane?
Yeah, it happened to me once. So Choco got the sack on the Friday morning of a Friday night game. We were playing Collingwood on a Friday night at Footy Park. And we got ourselves up for the first half and started so well, had a big lead at halftime, eventually got overrun. I see something similar. So I think that they will be up. They will be ferocious. They'll want to do it for Nathan Buckley. In the end, I think Melbourne and how well organised they are, they'll win. But not by a lot. Let's just hope for a great game and send Bucks off with the game that he deserves.
Yeah, indeed. And a great occasion too. As we've been saying all morning, it is the big freeze MND. You've still got an opportunity to buy your beanies at Bunnings or Coles or online, and there'll be an opportunity to donate today, I'm sure. Hey, Kano, you've been superb again. Enjoy. What's left of your holiday? You calling the game today, AFL Nation style?
You too. No game today. So I'll have the afternoon off. Footy Classified tonight. But look forward to seeing you next weekend. Next week.
Kane Corns there. The Converse. No. What's it called? Forgotten. The Microscope. The Monday Microscope. Thank God I got that out, Tim.